but God breathed into us the spirit of life. We started in God, in the beginning, God. And all the way down at the end, wherever that end is, we go back to God. The Spirit returns to God. God is primary. You start in God. You end in God. There is no escaping God. Yet the whole world spends a vast majority of its time trying to replace God or deny God or escape from God. And I wish I could convince them all to just simply relax and embrace God and let Him have His way, because they're going to stand before Him before this is over. Here's the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of God. In the beginning, or at essence, God. God is primary. So what is my duty? What is my life? What is my being? What is my purpose? To love God, fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Now, you may be a carpenter, and you may build wonderful things, and I think it's important for you to do everything with excellence. You may run a business, and you may be very skillful at what you do. You may be a doctor or a nurse or any number of things you might do for a vocation, but that is something you do secondarily to who you are in your being. You are a child of God, and in Him we live and move and have our being. And so as I walk out into my vocation or walk out into my job related activity, I am projecting from the center point in the beginning, God, at my core, God, in my primary sense, God. Everything else is affected by that, or if you would, by the lack of that. But my whole duty as a living, breathing, sentient creation is to serve God, to fear God, and to keep His commandments. That's a very simple proposition. That's a very simple mandate. In the morning when I get up, who am I? I'm a child of God. What will I do? I'll fear God and I'll keep His commandments. What about everything else? Well, the rest of that is just my way of navigating this life. But who I am and what I am is dependent on my experience in the kingdom of God. Genesis 1:1-4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God is primary. God is light. God is Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. God is life, God is light, and God is love. He is those three things, and those things emanate. Those things shine forth. They radiate forth, just like the sun comes up in the morning and that light and that warmth comes out of the sun. So as you encounter God, and the nearer you get to God, the more light, the more love, and the more life you absorb, and that He radiates out to you. This is the essence of God. And so primary, God is love. God is light. God is life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so that is the essence or the nature of God. And if God is in the beginning of everything, and God is primacy, God is primary to everything, then light and love and life are primary to our experiencing God and foundational to everything that we do, not only in the kingdom of God, but as God's people, everything that we do in life. And so if I am a carpenter or a baker or a butcher or a builder or a banker or whatever else I am in those places in a primary sense. I am light, I am life, and I am love in those places, because I am the representative of God in every one of those places. Can you say amen? That's primary to me. What will I do? Who will I be? Well, in the beginning, God. And so at the beginning of that conversation, at the beginning of the answer to that question, God is the answer. Well, what is God? God is light. God is life. God is love. Well, then who am I? I am God's child. I am God's offspring. I am God's project. I am his representative. I am his ambassador. And so what am I in the darkness? I am light. What am I among the dead? I am life. What am I among a world full of hatred and bitterness and anger? I am love. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of this world. And that is primary. And that is in the beginning. It answers every question. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. A better translation is probably overcame it not. So what God has set in you, the world can't quench. The world can't stop. The world can't deny. John 1 and 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So you can't know you, and you can't know others, and you can't know purpose, and you can't know reality without knowing God. You can't know nothing without knowing God, because in the beginning, God. And without God, you're starting somewhere way downstream, disconnected, untethered. Untethered from God, man cannot find satisfactory, functional, productive, effective answers to anything in regard to life. But tethered to God, he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? You can't even know the things of your own self before you know God, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You can see mankind all around you tonight. They're like somebody standing at the refrigerator door at 2 o'clock in the morning hungry and can't figure out what they want to eat. And they're shooting things and snorting things and doing things and going from one wife to another husband to another husband, and indiscriminately going from this partner to that partner and running around and trying to fill the void, and they can't fill it because it's down at a primary level and in the beginning God, and you can't fill primary things with things downstream from that. The only thing that'll fill that void is God and God's breath and God's Spirit and God's word and God's promise. That's all that will fill that. So you can't know God. I mean, you can't know yourself or understand anything about life till you know God, and you're going to know him by Spirit. The last part of that run in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He will not step into the arena of faith. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But I'll just tell you, you can't know self until you know God. And here's a question that a scribe asks in Mark 12. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What's the most important commandment of all? And you know this already. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments, or if you would, the most important of all the commandments, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the Shema Israel. It's the expression that they want to breathe in their daily prayer, the thing that they want to breathe before they die. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Knowing and loving God then becomes core, primary, if you would, to human experience. Because in the beginning, God. And love him then with all that is in you. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so involved in this commandment, in this response, is knowing and loving God, knowing and loving self, knowing and loving others. Because you can't love self without knowing God. And you can't love others without loving self. And if you're still hung up on you and you can't resolve your own internal conflicts, you will forever be replaying your internal conflicts with everybody and in every relationship that you ever have. You'll be using people to try to fill the void that is within you. But you first need to get close enough to God to see yourself. And it's so very clear in the scripture. When Isaiah, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the angels, the seraphim, were there saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole world is filled with his glory. And Isaiah's seeing all this, and he sees God, and he sees Isaiah. He sees God, and then he sees himself. And when he sees himself, he falls on his face and says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And then he sees others, and I dwell among a nation, a people of unclean lips. It doesn't bother God. God just sends an angel with a coal off the altar, touches it to his lips and says, now, your sins have been purged. I've taken away your sins. And then he's ready to put Isaiah to work. But in that sequence, we understand that sight of God brings sight of self, and it causes you to be able to see others. And it's almost identical to what happens to Peter on the deck of his fishing boat. They've been fishing all night. They haven't caught a thing. Jesus comes on board, says, launch out into the deep for a draught. And they do that, even though they fished and they haven't caught, and they're seasoned fishermen, and he's a carpenter, and he doesn't know anything about fishing, and they don't grumble and gripe unless it just didn't get recorded. And they go out, and he said, cast the net, and they do. And they catch such a massive catch, it almost destroys the net. It almost sinks the boat. In other gospels, they have to call other boats around to handle all the fish. And the first thing out of Peter's mouth when he sees that miracle is, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. What happened to him? He saw God. He got close to God. And when he got close to God, he saw himself. And you can't know self without knowing God. And so in the beginning, God is primary. How can you know yourself? You gotta have God at the beginning. You can't know you until you come into contact with God. You can't know you until the Word of God comes unfurled in your life. And you can't function with others effectively until God becomes real at a primary level in your life. That first chapter of Genesis, as we wade off into it, yeah, it's the story of the creation of all things, but it is the whole of creation was a staging area and a platform for the redemptive drama to be played out. And you, not the universe, not the stars, you are the apple of his eye. And he didn't come to the earth in the form of anything else. He came to the earth in the form of a man, because humanity was his target. The foundation of the earth, the creation of the stars, the creation of the earth itself was for the drama of redemption. redemption. Man is the centerpiece of God's creation. And all of this, you can't know yourself. You can't function in God without first coming into the arena of faith, seeing God. And so to know God is to, in an initial sense, know myself and then to be able to function with others. So the praise group sings a chorus. They sing Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. And beautiful chorus. And I love when I hear that. But it is perfect for the teaching tool that we use, the object lesson that we use when we talk to you about your life and your family and your relationships and your vocation and your ministry and all of those things. We use an object lesson and we take a simple circle and we use that to describe or to talk about our relationship with God and with others. There's a dot in the middle of that page, and the dot is you and God. And without God, your dot is just aimless and empty and wandering and unable and unfulfilled and will forever be and will wander in darkness forever. But with God, that dot in the center becomes centered and becomes knowledgeable of God and of itself. That's the beginning of the new creation. That's the beginning of God-given being, when God and you become connected together. So, Brother Cedric, you are the dot in the middle of the page. Everything else in life is going to gravitate out from that center. Everything else in life will depend on that center connection. Everyone say, in the beginning, God. It means in the primary place, God. In the beginning, God. Or if you would, in the center, God. God in the center of my day. God in the center of my life. God in the center of my aspirations, my dreams, my hopes, my behaviors, my activities. God defining everything. God being influential in everything. Is that your prayer, that God would be at the center of everything that you do and all that you are in your life? Praise God. So for most folks, then we draw another circle, and it's barely and imperceptibly separated, and it's you and your spouse. And for single people or widowed people, I know that this conversation is a little bit painful, but it doesn't discriminate against you. It's just God's plan was family. And so we use that as a model, and it's a functional model. And even though society all around us is falling apart and denying the constructs that God set into motion, we still teach it the way that God taught it. And so that's the way we'll continue to teach it. And so this works for you. So this lady is at the center of my circle. But I'm never going to be any better a husband to her than I am in my connection to God. That center circle will determine how effective I am as a husband to her, as a friend to her, as any other thing I am in function with her. I'll only be as effective as I am in my experience in God. So you come and you tell me, we've got marital problems, or we've got communication problems, or we've got problems in relationship. The first thing I'm going to ask you is, how is your prayer life? How is your connection with God? Because everything in that relationship has to do with your connectivity to God. In the beginning, God. God's the beginning of our answer. God's the beginning of getting better. God's the beginning of seeking after a more prosperous day or a better day. Outside of this circle is another circle, and it's our children. And I guess now grandchildren. And Grammy's found a different ministry. She said, I feel like I don't do much at church anymore. I said, baby, you're doing all kinds of things. You're launching people into the kingdom of God. And she is, by the way, an excellent Grammy and does a wonderful job. But that next circle is the circle of family and children. It can't be more important than her, because they weren't there in the beginning and they won't be there in the end. Well, you understand what I mean. The empty nest, that's supposed to happen at some point. It hasn't happened to me yet. The empty nest. They keep coming back. Yeah, they do. And leaving things. Stuff. Children. But I'm having trouble with my teenager. I can't control my children. I had a man sit with me one day and just excoriate his teenage daughter as if he had nothing. It was like looking at a ramshackle barn and the guy that built it saying, "I don't understand how it's so messed up." And I said, "You built her. You made her. She came from you. She's chromosomally half of you. She's out of your nurture and out of your home and out of your..." And that's a scary thing. If you knew the guy, it's a scary thing to be out of that guy. Talked about himself in third person. Scary. Anyway. But his problem was he wasn't close to God. And he wanted her. He was holding up a standard of life for that child. But that child can't be any better in the things of God than that man is. Now, there's outliers and there's anomalies, but just for general terms, general practice, that child is not going to fall far from that tree, from that parental tree, all right? So that next circle is children, but it can only be as strong as that center is. You've heard the expression, the center doesn't hold. The center can't hold and everything else falls apart. It's imperative that the center hold. And so then the next circle is, you might think, being a preacher, I would say the next circle is church, but I don't. The next circle is vocation, is your job. By the way, you need to have a marketable skill. You need to have a means of support. You need to take dominion in your world. You need to be a productive individual in everything that you do. Vocation is next, because that's where you're going to be most effective in the harvest and most effective in your light and being salt and all of that. Brother Ronnie was telling me today that it never got above 20-something in the shop, and everything was frozen up, you know. But I'll just tell you this. I know Brother Ronnie from years here at church, and I've visited a couple of times on the job with him there. But I'll just tell you, he is light and salt in that shop. And whether they all fall on their knees and live for God at some point, Brother Ronnie, God has sent them witness. God has sent them a testimony. And you're a walking, talking miracle every day that they see you in that job, you know? And so you're doing your job there. But the next circle is vocation. The next circle is church. Church activity, church relationships, church ministry, Sunday school, and all the other things that go into it. But you know what? You'll never be any more effective at singing in the praise group or playing an instrument or teaching a Sunday school class or anything else than you are in that center with God. In the beginning, God. God is at the beginning of everything. God has to be at the... That's a premise. That's a tenet. That's a cardinal rule of the kingdom of God. God has to be at the beginning of it. Well, I know so-and-so, and he's carnal as a brick, and he's out here doing this and doing that in the church. Well, yeah, there's carnal people everywhere you go. Heresies must arise. There'll always be tares among the wheat. It'll always be like that. But in the beginning, if you want to do this right, and if you understand it's not by might nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, God's going to be at the beginning of everything that you do. The beginning of every day, the beginning of every relationship, the beginning of every ministry. He's at the beginning of parenting. He's at the beginning of marriage. He's in the beginning of it all. Now I'm talking to the over 40 group here. You're on your last leg of life. You're not a bunch of teenagers just beginning their lives or anything like that. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this, that some of you, if you would embrace the concept of getting God down at the core, at the beginning of everything that you do. Sister Mildred, you're walking in a brand new experiencing God. And you're, how long have you guys been coming? 3 years. You're still in your Bible study, aren't you? That's the Bible study that never ends. But your life is changing, isn't it? It is changing. Your life is changing. Denarius's life is changing. Consequently, Saye's life is changing. And you've had family members here, and their lives are going to be changing. And it's all happening because God is getting down at the very center. He's getting down to be in a primacy, a primary location or status in your life. And it's affecting every circle outside your center circle. You understand what I'm saying? It's your center circle is like the epicenter. And as it vibrates out, it touches and changes everything else. And I don't care how old you are right now. If you in a brand new year dig down and get a brand new experience in God, and you let God begin to shake you up in your core and in your center and in every succeeding circle of relationship outside of that, this can be the most dynamic year that you've ever had in the kingdom of God. This can be the most productive year that you've ever had in the kingdom of God. And if you're tired, if you've been kind of languishing and things haven't been changing and you're not seeing what you want to see out here in a circle somewhere removed from your core, get back down into your core and make improvements in your core. More prayer, more word, more worship, more of God down at the beginning of it all, and these succeeding circles get better. I'm just telling you, everything gets better with more of God down at the primary location. Can you say amen? Is there a witness in the house? Is there a testimony to that? I want you to understand, you have not seen everything God wants to show you. You've not experienced everything God wants you to experience. You haven't produced everything God wants you to produce. But if we'll get, and you can't fix it out here. You can't fix it by fixing your kids. You can't fix it by fixing your husband or your wife. You can't fix it by fixing your boss or the job. You got to go all the way back to the beginning, and the beginning, God. And you get down in that primary place and reinforce your experiencing God. And then the kids get better. The wife gets better. The husband gets better. None of you are shouting right now. None of you are shouting at all. The job gets better. Everything gets better with more of God. Can you say amen? Now, I believe that. I believe it with all of my heart. Praise God. Let's stand and give God some praise and magnify him and bless his name. Hallelujah, mighty God. We praise you, Lord God, and we bless your name. We lift you up. We worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. I'd like for our ladies to come down over in this area and get in this area and begin to lay hands on one another. Gentlemen, come down to this area. Begin to come and pray for one another. Ask God to lay his hand on your brother, your sister. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Sister Aretha, Sister Bonnie, God bless you. Praise God. Get in here and lay hands on one another. Praise God. Get in close and pray for one another. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise. Hallelujah.